You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Now look at us getting all serious and stuff. What the hell?
We need Scott to come in here and spear or something. And... Hey, you guys, I love you, man. you guys are awesome.
I think the last one we did together, Scott and I, we were probably spearing a little too much.
So ooh.
It's going to be a fun show to air.
Spear-a-thon.
Yeah. Well, I'm watering right now, so.
Yeah, I've got some water over here, too. I had a soda earlier, so. I don't know, I was trying not to drink a whole bunch of soda, but I don't know, it's kind of tasty.
Yeah, I had a little scotchy last night, and I'm like, I don't need it two nights in a row. Then, you know, work tomorrow, I just want to go to bed somewhat early and get well rested.
Yeah.
Be ready for the week.
Pretty rough. I needed to go out, and I didn't want to. And I just kind of laid in bed for like 2 more hours, and I'm not doing it, but I have to. Yes. Fine, I'll get up. So, once I got out and moved around, I was fine. But then when I came home, I had to take like a 3-hour nap because my body was just beat.
Oh, okay.
That's when I know it hates me. Like, you're going to sleep for 3 hours.
I took a 15-minute power nap.
That's cool. I love people who can do that.
I actually had, I set my phone. I'm like, I know I've got things to do. But I just needed to get warmed up, and I was just feeling where I just needed to recharge. I was able to do that. I thought it was really cool because my wife came in, turned the lights on, and she goes, she got done with whatever she was doing, and she's like, well, you want me to turn the lights back off and, you know, close the door? And I'm like, no, don't worry about it. I'm, you know, just, you know, taking a little break here. And, you know, it's just like, you know, she understood. You know, she understood that that's kind of what I needed. So that was awesome.
Nice.
So we're going to be talking Goonies.
I know. Gosh. You know, I hadn't seen that movie in such a long time. When was the last time you watched it, seriously, before today?
It's probably been maybe 2 to 3 years, I would guess.
Really? Wow. Did you watch it with your kids?
I watched it with my youngest.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Because it really is a kid's movie.
It really does. It kind of plays into the whole adventure type thing, and it's great to see, you know, watching the movie and realizing, you know, how grounded the roots of that kind of thing is into, you know, what's popular nowadays with like Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could see that.
Yeah. Well, Stranger Things acting is better, somewhat. I don't know.
Then Goonies?
I'm a little apprehensive about that. Yeah, well, come on now.
All right, hold on a minute. We need to officially start this then, because this is going to be good. Okay. This is going to get good then.
Okay, good.
I'm looking forward to your commentary here. All right, so let me see one thing. I just want to verify I'm recording. I know I am, but I just want to make sure. That's like my thing now.
Mm-hmm.
This is 80-something podcast.
Banzai!
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 Hey, where's the meat? I don't think there's anybody back there.
you or any of your family ever seen a spook, specter, or ghost?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Pick up your phone and call the professionals. Go Ghostbusters! Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
We're ready to believe you!
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Be it to each other. And party on, dudes!
Alright, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and I've got the wonderful, beautiful Rose online.
Hey, everybody.
And we are going to be talking about the 1985 epic 80s movie Goonies. This is episode 16 already. So we're chugging right along, right into our whole 70s, 80s, 90s thing, and this just falls right in line with picking one of the most popular movies from the 1980s, being our beloved Goonies. And I'm really disappointed in myself, and well, pretty much all of us, and that this has not been a major topic that has come up in the past. And even the whole time we did 80s Reboot Overdrive, and ever since we started Banzai, this has not been something that has brought up as a topic idea. And so I'm a little disappointed in us that we've gone this long without doing it.
It shouldn't be.
So shame on me, and shame on Scott and yourself.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we covered a lot of John Hughes stuff, right? But we didn't cover...
Yeah.
And we covered The Outsiders. So... You know, we really dug deep into those, but we never thought to dig deep into Goonies, and I don't know why. I don't know why that didn't become a thing.
You know, I don't know either. I think, okay, so my kids and I used to watch this movie all the time. It is basically one of those movies that you watch with your kids, because there's some kind of life lesson that they're going to learn in it. But there's also the hilarity that is part of it. The, the conflict and the, scary stuff, and maybe a kid swears or something. And, it's one of those things that it's a kid's movie. It truly is a kid's movie. I know there's a lot of people out there that are faithful to a lot of the 80s movies as children, that were children, like my kids, were all products of the 80s, and they grow up and they remember all of this stuff. I feel personally as a parent that I'm like, whew, my God, thank you. I don't have to watch that thing again. But it's just... it's only so much you could take in. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of really good kids in there that acted. Martha Plimpton and Josh Brolin, James Brolin's dad. Corey Feldman and Sean Astin. All of these kids, the other little girl, I don't think I've ever seen her in anything else.
Terry Green.
And yes, and the little boy that played Data.
Oh, he was.
He was in the
Indiana Jones movies. Yeah, that's Jonathan K. Kwan.
Yeah, he's a good actor, but it's just I don't know. It's a good movie to revisit, I think, just for the nostalgic purposes of it.
But I guess your viewing of it originally when it came out was the hype from your kids.
Yeah, pretty much. They, and they still have, I still own a copy of it. I didn't tell you that. I own a VHS copy of it because, well, who wouldn't? Do I know where it is? No. It's only because I moved earlier this year and packed a bunch of stuff. It's probably in storage, basically. But I know I had a VH copy because I'd found one recently, if I remember saying a few podcasts last year. I think it was a year before last year, before I moved. And, it was like, oh, guess what I found in a thrift store today? Goonies, you know, it's an original box or something like that. And it was something else. But it's like something you have, just like if you're a classic movie buff, there's like three or four films that you always keep with you, you know, if you're, Orson Welles, you have like Citizen Kane. And then if you're a Humphrey Bogart fan, you'll have either the Treasure of Sierra Madre or Maltese Falcon and Gone with the Wind. You know, all these classic movies that people seem to think they need to have in their library. Well, there's certain 80s films that 80s buffs have in their library, and that's one of them because it's iconic.
Yeah, I'm, as you were talking, I was placing myself in your position, but I'm looking at it from, you know, me being a parent of young kids right now. And the movies that are probably to the level of Goonies that it was for me, I'm trying to think of, do I have that same kind of attachment to the movies that they are watching now that's a big deal for them? And the closest thing that I'm coming to is my oldest daughter, who's 16 years old, has this thing for these Disney movies, High School Musical.
Yeah.
And I can take it or leave it. But it is the cat's meow for her.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm thinking throughout the years, as she grows up, as she gets older, her nostalgia factor for High School Musical is going to always be there, like Goonies is for me.
Right.
But me, I'm like, eh. So... Yeah. So maybe I'm getting your point here.
And I think, you know, as long as you keep it in perspective, you know, because I know there's people out there, case in point. I've probably told the story before, but how often do you get to talk to Sean Astin at Comic-Con? Anyway, so Sean Astin is at Comic-Con in 2015. And we just barely got in there. Because all the seats filled up like you would not believe. And this is under the rumors of, you know, what he was going to be. This was before the whole Stranger Things. He said he was going to be working on something, and he couldn't tell anybody, but it was going to be really awesome. And then he's just being himself, and he's a very likable person immediately. When you first see him, you just want to give him a hug because he is just that amazing. First thing. As he sits down and they're greeting him and introducing him to the audience, somebody from way in the back, Goonies never say die! And I'm like, dude, you sound like you're like 45. Are you kidding me? But Sean Astin said, damn right! And like the whole room just erupted because that was the connection. You know, and he has like no... What's the word I'm looking for? He embraces that.
Yeah.
He's not one of these people that goes, oh, man, I'll be talking about Goonies. Oh, geez. You know, or don't be, you know.
Yeah,
let's
look at my body of work since then. I've done other stuff, Jokers. Yeah. Let's move on.
Yeah. He knows that's where he got to start.
Yeah.
You know, so he knows. He already, because he's been to way more of these things than I have. So when he gets 50-year-old people shouting out Goonies never say die, he's like, hell yeah. You know? And that just endears him even more to his fans, which is great. So, on that note, yeah, there's people out there would probably want to slice my head off or something for saying, oh, what do you mean you don't like Goonies? Didn't say I didn't like Goonies. I watched it. I had to watch it to do a podcast. I watched it, and there was a lot of things that came back to me that I'd forgotten. And I'm not sure if it was you that put the thread in. What was your favorite scene?
Yeah, I put that on Twitter.
Yes. So my favorite scene, and I didn't respond then because, well,
we're talking about tonight, so yeah, there's no reason to tweet it out.
Exactly that, and I couldn't remember. Honestly, it's been, like I said, about 20 years since I've seen the movie. So I'm watching it, and they're under, and then they find the fountain.
Yeah.
And they're looking around, and they're thinking that that's the, you know, they're thinking that that's the treasure. And I'm like, wait a minute, those are all American coins. I'm like, oh my God, it's a wishing well. That's right. You know, so I'm actually talking to myself, talking to the TV. And they start grabbing all the money and putting it in their pockets. And so Andy says, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. And like almost simultaneously, we said, those are other people's wishes. And a tear came to my eye, and I thought, damn it! I wasn't supposed to do that! But it was such a poignant moment, you know, that I almost forgot the next part of it was Corey Feldman's character saying, well, you know what? I'm keeping this one. Because this is my wish, and this one didn't come true, and I'm taking it back. And I'm like, oh, jeez. Damn tears, you know. But see, it's, there has that moment where every one of us connects with a different moment in the film.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, yeah, let's ride this out. Let's see these kids to the end of this and find out what happens, even though you already know what happens. And honestly, I forgot that the kid still had the jewels in his pocket. You know, I thought, you know, once the ship, I remember the ship going out. Spoiler alert, people. The pirate ship goes out just to the ocean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They find the treasure, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's just like, okay, so apparently whatever they had in their hand was going to be good enough for them to save their houses. And I'm like, those had been some very amazingly fantastic jewels to save 50 houses.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Yeah, but... You know, it's like you want to see something like that. You want to see people succeed that are the good guys. You know, because the rich snobby people always have it way too easy and they don't know what it's like to suffer or do without. So.
Yeah, and you gotta imagine that what they had in their pocket was just enough to do the job to save, you know, their community,
right,
but not enough to be life-changing. Like, they're still grounded. They're still, you know, in that community, and there's, you know, Goonies forever, mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, it was good enough to save their, you know, their community from turning into a golf course.
Yeah.
And that works. That works for the end of that film. You don't need... You know, for all of them to go, you know, where they're now mega millionaires, and then, you know, they're like, well, I'm not going to live in the Goonies anymore.
See, that's just it. That just shows you, like what you just said, how grounded they were and how content they were to stay where they were.
Right.
Because that was home.
Yeah.
Which is great.
The Goondocks. I said Goonies, but I meant the Goondocks.
No.
No.
No, what?
No, you said no, so I was like, yeah, it was the Goondocks. That's what they referred to it as before.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I don't know why I said no. I was probably going off on another tangent and I stopped.
Oh. You know, I'm in the same scene as far as my favorite,
mm-hmm.
But just a half a beat later, Mikey's speech.
Yeah.
I love that moment. The, you know, where he's the, you know, the leader, you know, by all intents and purposes. And, you know, you have that moment where everybody's tested, you know, where they have that temptation. Am I just going to check out and bail right now? Because I can easily just get out of the well and I don't have to worry about any more, you know, traps and danger. Mm-hmm. You know, I can just, you know, I can go to safety and I'm done. I'm good. Or, you know, just continue on and fight through it for the potential that something good comes out of it, something better comes out of it. And yeah. I love the moment where he's, you know, he gets that awareness and he's got to remind everybody, you know, this is why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've gotta fight through this. We've gotta, you know, I'm sure we're close. You know, be the positive, yeah. You know, be the positive influence to that group.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, they're kids and they're just, at that point, they're just, you know, they've gotten, through all these different, you know, trials and tribulations that any kid really shouldn't even be dealing with.
Absolutely.
You know, and to be the, you know, the voice of reason at such, you know, his mm-hmm. age, it's a great moment in 80s history, or movie history.
Yeah. And he has such a practical way of looking at things.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've already gone further than Chester Copperpot did.
Yeah.
So we've got to be close. You know, and you're like, yeah, well, yeah. Nobody realized that. You know, they were just like, oh, let's just get out of here. Let's just find a way out. You know, as if they were appeasing, you know, him to get him, you know, if we placate him enough, maybe we can just get, you know, find some way out. But he wasn't going to let him do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he gave him serious pause. I mean, I don't think it's not, you know, if all of a sudden they all mutinied against him,
yeah,
it would be a shorter movie.
I was going to say, what kind of movie would it be then? Mutiny of the Goonies. That's what they should have had. The sequel, Mutiny of the Goonies.
Mutiny of the Goonies.
Write that.
So that's our favorite scene. What about your favorite character? Do you have a favorite character in the movie?
Oh, think about that one. You're my least favorite character.
All right, well, let's start there. Least favorite. Let's hear it. You're going to go mouth.
Oh, no. Well, he's... Okay, I honestly, when I first saw it, I remember initially seeing it. And then thinking, okay, Corey, I know you can act better than that. I don't even understand, you know, what the deal is. But then when he's talking to the maid and he's telling her, the cocaine goes in here and the heroin goes in here and don't go upstairs because that's my dad's sexual torture chamber. I'm like, what a little smart ass. Oh my goodness. And, you know, the woman that plays his mom is, you know, she went on to do other stuff, and I know we just lost her recently, but she's just like, she's no clue. You know, I don't know what he's saying, and you're being so helpful, Mel. It's like, no, he's Eddie Haskell, and he's, you know, doing everything he can to possibly confuse everybody in the room.
Yeah, that's Ellen Trainor, by the way.
Mary Ellen Trainor, Lord bless her. Chunk was like my least favorite character, I think.
Chunk, okay.
Yeah, only because he always, nothing against the person that played him, but it was always as if he was like ad-libbing everything he said. I don't know if that really happened, but a lot of times his lines were always so, I don't want to say repetitive, but he just basically looked and acted as if he was ad-libbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. It made him hard to follow a lot. I mean, I know the avenue where he was going, where he was always the neurotic kid that, you know, needed help all the time, was always hungry and things like that. But it just, I don't know. He kind of got on my nerves. But maybe that's what he was supposed to do. It could have been.
Yeah. I think, you know, the lovable doofus, but like, there had to be some quality about him that, you know, the others would get annoyed by. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's probably a very, you know, an 80s kid movie trope where you've just got that one kid that's just kind of on the edge of the friends, you know, and I'm thinking like, Vern from Stand By Me. where, yeah, you know, they just kind of tolerate him, you know, but he's the, you know, you can count on him, you know, he's going to be the guy that, you know, brings, you know, Sloth at the end, you know, yeah, to, you know, be against the Fratellis, you know,
yeah,
and, you know, just because of his, the way he is and the way that, you know, in some ways people, you know, beloved him, you know, like, mm-hmm, Sloth did, you know, then, yeah, all of a sudden he, you know, he's like, yeah, I'm going to follow along with, you know, this guy Chunk, even though everyone else is going to be, oh my God, Chunk, you know, but now it's like, yeah, you know, he's, yeah, there's something about him that, you know, the other misfits, you know, for whatever groups they're in are going to, mm-hmm, just tag along with him, you know, because he's, you know, in their mind, you know, he's lovable, you know, and he's gonna take care of you. He's gonna try to take care of you. He's gonna give you a baby Ruth when you're hungry.
Yeah. There you go. A lot of product placement in that movie.
There was.
Rocky Which is great.
Road?
Yeah. Rocky Road. I don't know where Swenson's ice cream comes from, but I don't know if they sell it in Astoria. But it looks good. I need a lot of grape. I don't know. I don't think I'd eat grape ice cream. But, I don't know. My favorite character, I think, is probably, can't remember his name. It wasn't Data. It was, the older brother.
Brand.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Only because he's the older brother, and he was probably used to looking after Mikey. And he's a lot older, obviously, than his brother, but he's more mature in a lot of ways than you initially see. And I think even though his little brother kind of gets on his nerves and he has to look after him because his mom said, he understands. I mean, you know, the scene where they're on the porch and, you know, the people come by with the papers and everything and they're being all snarky and, you know, he throws it right back at him. Oh, I'm sure he's at the store picking out Pampers for us all, you know, and, gives him the papers. And then Mikey's sitting on the porch and Brand comes and he hugs him, you know, to reassure him that everything's going to be okay. In that little scene where he just kind of drags him off the porch and he's,
and Mikey's like, feet are just dragging right behind
I
him.
I know. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Like, I don't know if he really could do that or he was just like struggling really hard or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But, it was just like they had parents, but it was just like the two of them were, you know, they had a secret bond. So even though they knew, you know, if you ever had like siblings and stuff, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, your parents think they hate each other, but deep down inside you have a lot more respect for the other one than you want them to know.
Right.
But there's those moments that bring you together. It's like, okay, yeah, we're related. We're in this together. Let's do this kind of a thing. So.
And actually, Brand is my least favorite.
Yeah.
and you know, there's, you're right, the moments that he has where he, it's touching, where he, the way he treats Mikey, like the moment that you mentioned. But then there's other ones where he's your very typical big brother, where he just picks on his little brother. And mm-hmm. being the youngest, you know, between, mm-hmm. you know, my big sister and I, when I see, you know, an older sibling picking on a younger sibling, it pisses me off because I remember yeah. that. And, yeah. and so that's what that brought to me was, you know, Brand, you know, that's what I saw. But, you know, that's yeah. right. There's those moments where he's taking care of Mikey and he's yeah. taking care of the group as much as he can. But then there's other times where it's just like, you know, you don't have to say the snarky ass remark or you don't have to push him down. You know, I mean, yeah. you know, but that's, you know, me looking at it from the lens of the younger kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, So yeah, I was actually opposite you. So I'm anti-brand.
That's okay.
But my favorite though is Steph.
Really?
Yeah, Martha Plimpton's character.
Nice.
I just think that her her sarcastic wit of her character, and you know when she says things like I'm gonna fumble the line, but it's like, you know, it's like I'm babysitting, but I'm not getting paid for it. You know,
yeah,
love that. I mean, it's so matter of fact, and you know, just the, you know, just calling things out. You know, just calling it out as to, you know, the way she sees it, and just owns it. And I love her character. I love how well Martha Plimpton did. So yeah, I thought she was great. And probably like most 80s boys, Carrie Green was cute, but yeah, Martha though just had this matter of fact about her, you know, of wit and sarcasm that I loved.
Yeah, I like how she tells Mouth at the end, you know, your voice is kind of nice and your mouth doesn't get in the way.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, snap, you told. Yeah, but she's very, you know, and I really like Martha Plimpton anyway. I've loved being able to follow her career along the years, you know, because she's in, what's that show on Fox? Raising Hope?
I was thinking Real O'Neill's.
Oh, no, I thought she was in, wasn't she in Raising Hope? With Clarice Leachman?
I have to look.
But she's just so, so funny. And she has such a very serious demeanor about her as well. Like, I've seen her in movies where you're like, oh my god, I hope I'll never meet this woman on the street. Because she looks like she could kick your ass and not even blink, you know?
You're right, she's on Raising Hope.
Okay, good. Yeah, but I haven't seen the other one yet, but I could probably watch that too.
Yeah,
but she was one of the actresses.
Yeah, Real O'Neill's is a funny show. She's the mother.
Oh, okay. Nice. But she was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Was that her?
And let me see.
I was just sitting right here next to my iPad, like I could have just looked that up on IMDb.
She's on Parenthood, so.
Yes. Oh my god, she was excellent in that movie. Loved her in that.
I don't see her in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
And who was that? Is that Juliette Lewis?
It's gonna cause me to open up a new window here.
Uh oh! What does have too many windows?
Exactly. We know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cast. Juliette Lewis. Good job.
Okay.
You got all that from your gray matter, did you?
Yes, I did. I used my brain.
Proud of you.
Funny.
That's why I have my computer here. I can't do that.
Just, you know, sometimes I get them and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, and even if we don't get them, we're just going to call it out like we, you know, like we do, like we own it, and then just wait for somebody to tell us we're wrong.
And they never do.
Yeah, they never do.
I've never had anybody say, oh my god, woman, get a clue. Just open up the IMDb and just stop guessing. I'm waiting for somebody to tell me that.
You know, but
you're not really listening out there, people, if you don't. Seriously, I would.
But, you know, us doing any kind of, like, semblance of research other than maybe watching a movie beforehand, you know, I that's just not us.
It's so nice. So much damn work. Please. At that point, we'd be getting paid for it. And we'd have to.
Yeah, you know, if somebody's looking for a podcast that's going to give you, like, all the facts and figures of, you know, how much it took to make Goonies and how much it made and the box office and all that. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. You can do that.
I totally agree with you. I have a friend of mine that used to live in Astoria, and she was always one of those people who's like, you know, Goonies was made in Astoria. I remember when the movie trucks rolled in and it was just so exciting. And I'm just like, oh, shut up. Yeah, because he's like, quit making it sound like, you know, they were coming to see you. Okay, so yeah, Astoria is kind of a small town, but still, you know, let's not reminisce on that every time you see somebody you don't know. But you know, I'm from Astoria, and who needs with her? But anyway, she's a nice lady. But years later, my husband and I are going down to Oregon to visit a friend of mine that I met on the internet. And we actually took a wrong turn and ended up in Astoria. I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to be this far over. And so we pull into Safeway. And by that time, we had to get out. I had to get out of the car and for to look at a map or something. And I remember standing there. I went, oh, my God, we're in Astoria. And I looked at Richard. I said, Goonies is filmed here. He's like, what? I'm like, don't. Don't you do that Scottish thing where you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Because, no, I'm just kidding. Thank God.
Oh, that's my move.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, I had a moment. And I was like, wait a minute, just let me stand here and take it all in. Okay, let's go. I just did like a complete circle, looked all around me, went, awesome. All right, I'm done. So, but yeah, so it's just like, what is that Weird Al's lame claim to fame? I was in Astoria once. Goonies was built in Astoria.
Well, there's the like the images of when they're using the bloom to kind of line up where they were, and there's like this rock out in the middle of the water.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually Haystack Rock. It's in Cannon Beach, Oregon. And that's not in Astoria. So I've been to Cannon Beach, and I've seen the Haystack Rock. So
that's awesome. Look at you.
Yeah. So I
way more tangible.
And I thought that was awesome to see that, because there was like when we were in Cannon Beach, we actually stayed there overnight, and I was able to get up from the hotel and actually see the rock. You know, right there in the morning, you know, as the sunrise come up. And I think, if I remember right, it was one of those deals where the tide didn't encircle the water until later on in the day, so you can actually walk up near the Haystack Rock.
Wow.
So I thought that was pretty friggin' awesome to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a way better story than mine.
Well, you know, it's like one of those things where it's like you hear Goonies and you hear Astoria, and they're kind of linked together. But I think that is just the kind of the town scenes and the, you know, like their house. You know, that's where that's at.
Yeah.
And while that's cool in itself, but as I've learned, that you can't even go visit the house anymore because it's like private property. And they sectioned it off because people were just trashing it, you know, being stupid tourists.
That's a shame.
Yeah. So, the owner of the place was like, I just can't deal with this anymore. You know, this is my house. You know, so there's actually like some sort of barrier that you can't go past to get to the Goonies house now.
Good. You know, and that's the way it should be, honestly. I don't think if people can't, you know, respect history for what it is, then, you don't need to touch nothing. Just, you know, stay behind the barrier, take your pictures, and go. Move along.
Sorry you came all this way to get close to it, but you're not, so deal with it.
Yeah.
But I would think that if you're going to make the trip that you'd find out what's available and what's not. So.
Well, but you get a lot of people that are like, hey, you know, we're on the Oregon coast. Let's go. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, oh, what? I can't do what? Oh, man, that sucks. So it happens all the time.
Oh, I'm sure. So, what's your thoughts on the Fratellis?
Oh. You know, to me, they were bad. I don't know. I think that the consummate bumbling villain. You know, they have their moments of lucidity where they're like on it, but there's so much bickering and arguing between the brothers and of course the mom, Anne Ramsey, God rest her soul. She's just tough as nails. You know, when it's like, I think you love him more. Absolutely. Hell out of my way. No. And just, you know, is trying to get him to do what she wants. And then, of course, poor Sloth is just the outcast. And, you know, when she's trying to, she's like, it's not like I ever dropped you. Okay, I dropped you once. Oh, okay, maybe I dropped you a couple times. You know, but it was just, he's mad at her, but he still loved her. And I think when you have a family of criminals like that, there's never any honor among thieves anywhere. I don't care if it is family. But they obviously were ruthless enough to kill somebody, so they had that going for them. But it just, they were just outnumbered. They're outbrained and outnumbered by a bunch of kids. So,
did you have a favorite for Telly?
Oh, Mama, of course.
Mama, yeah.
Yeah, she's you know, she definitely demanded respect. You know, and she didn't. What was that one scene where she was trying to think what she did? And she just was like, oh, God, kids, I hate them. It's like, lady, you got like 3 years out. Obviously, you probably shouldn't have been a mom. But yeah, so she had, you know, her moments where she was just like completely... okay, and then it was, okay, back to business. Let's get the guns and let's capture these kids and take the gold for us. So, because they didn't even realize there was any gold at first. So they didn't believe anything Chunk said.
Yeah.
So.
I think my favorite is Jake. And I thought it was very funny that the moment where, like, you know, they're getting Chunk to confess to all his sins. and, you know, it's like he starts having a ball with it. He's like, I love this kid.
Yeah. Yeah, another brother's like, oh, my God, shut him up. Yeah, yeah. He kind of was. And then I don't know if that was actually him singing, but he seemed to have a really nice voice there.
Yeah.
And then he ever wanted to listen to. But it's like they all had, like, their own little quirks and strengths and weaknesses, and I just never could get it to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just kind of typical, I suppose.
Yeah, hodgepodge family there, you know.
Yeah.
You can't pick your mother and your brothers, but...
Yeah.
they definitely banded together, though.
Yeah, well, they had the one cause, you know, finding the treasure. So
true.
Anything but greed will make you do.
This is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, as you had mentioned, I did tweet out and asking everybody about their favorite scenes of this movie. And we actually got quite a few responses.
Ooh, let's hear them.
So, our mutual friend, Jill.
Yeah.
Real Ouija Midget Reviews.
Mm-hmm.
She says she loved the scene where Corey Feldman winds up with the maid about the drugs in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's talking about the part where he's doing the translation for Spanish, you know, and where he's just kind of making up the, you know, separate the drugs and, you know, Mr. Walsh's, you know, sex toys are upstairs in the attic and you'll be locked up there if you're bad or something. And
Yeah,
good stuff. And then also she mentioned that Sean Astin gets his first snog. First snog.
Yeah.
And Andy thinks he's his brother and standing in a puddle. fantastic. Best child ensemble cast since Bugsy Malone with splat guns. I have not seen Bugsy Malone in years. I don't think I've ever seen it either. Yeah, it's like it's a kid version of Bugsy Malone.
Yeah.
I want to say it was Scott Baio.
I think so. Wasn't it Scott Baio and Tatum O'Neal and a bunch of other people?
I've got to look this up now. Bugsy Malone, Scott Baio. Let's see if I get a hit on that on Google.
Yeah.
1976.
Mm-hmm.
IMDb. And if I remember, that was Scott Baio. It was.
Mm-hmm.
And Jodie Foster. Oh my God, we're amazing.
Mm.
That we can remember that. So that was 1976.
So it was Jodie Foster, not Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, Jodie Foster.
Oh, okay. Well, one of them, right? That's good. I actually was going to say Jodie Foster, but I was like, no, they wouldn't put them in two movies together, would they?
My God, that was so long ago. The classic gangster story of Bugsy Malone told with an all-child cast.
Yeah. Well, see, now it makes me want to watch it. Now, I never saw it. I never had a desire to watch it.
I remember rather than having, like, Tommy guns, they, like, you know, they threw pies.
Yeah. I think I remember a pie fight scene where everybody's just really getting hammered with these pies.
I'm going to have to look on demand or Netflix to see if I can find this bad boy.
Yeah, but I could just be recalling a scene from a Marx Brothers movie, too. So.
They sound very similar, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of pie scenes.
But yeah, so that, I love those, the scenes that she brings up there about Sean Astin getting his first kiss with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Corey Feldman translation of Spanish, if you want to call that air quotes a translation.
Yeah. It was pretty basic and it was grammatically incorrect, but you know, whatever. It worked.
So another response, 80s Grooves, at 80s Grooves. It's talking about when Chunk is interrogated by Fratellis.
Yeah.
Love the scene, especially the part where he's talking about where he made everybody in the movie theater throw up.
Mm-hmm.
It was just hilarious. You could just see all that, you know, all that weight was on Chunk, and he just had to air out all that dirty laundry to criminals.
Yeah. Because they could kind of, you know, they could, what's the word I'm looking for? Relate.
Yeah.
Kid's a bigger criminal than we are.
Okay, so Rain, at Quiet Rain, said, I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yeah.
So didn't pick a favorite scene, but called out the fact of not seeing that one in a while.
Yeah.
See, rediscoverthe80s.com. At, was it RD80s? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, RD80s. Talking about the scene where Brand is on the girl's bike and his classmates run him off the road.
That was so horrible. And yet I'm laughing. I was just like, I don't even know how he managed to stay on as long as he did. He's like, I want my bike back! He's like, later, kid.
He says, I'll make it up to you as he's taking the bike away.
No making that up. I mean, the training wheels came off one by one, and off he went into a ditch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably very true to the fact as to what would happen. You're on this small pedal bike. Mm-hmm. Training wheels get busted off. You're going, you know, let's say 40 miles per hour towards a ledge. There's nothing mm-hmm. you can do but scream.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so that was very apropos of real life as to what would happen there. Like, just brace for shock.
Trees. A lot of trees.
Yep.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then finally, we got Smokin' Beaver at Smoking, that's S-M-O-K-N, Beaver, says one of my all-time favorites, talking about Goonies.
Yeah.
So everybody does have a degree of affection for this.
Yeah. If you're, you know, some of those people are probably, you know, right around the age where they would have been kids watching it.
Right.
You know, I mean, if we ever decide to do a, you know, Disney movie podcast, I'm sure you're probably going to get a crap ton of people going, oh my God, I remember this movie. Just mention the word Ariel and you get like 500 women going, oh, I remember. I wanted to be a mermaid. And I did such a wonderful show. It's like, snore. Yes, I get it. Mermaid. I'm sorry. I never wanted to be one. But yes, it's a very interesting life lesson that she learned as a mermaid and wants to be human because she's in love, but she's a bit of a brat too, so.
She kind of is. She kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. But I actually, I didn't mind that movie too much. I mean, sure, when it was like 1989 when it was released. So I was all of 18 years old, but yeah, the first time I got to view it though, I went with a group of, girls at the Bass Theater. And, nice. You know, so it was kind of like me and four women. So like I'm going to say no to that.
Yeah. Like, I don't care what's playing. The Shaggy Dog could have been playing and I would have went. That poor chick, man.
But it was, you know, it was a fun movie for what it was. You know? Yeah.
Music alone, you know, was just amazing. And it's timeless.
Yeah.
You know, they made a play out of a musical out of, a live musical out of it. And just like they did with The Lion King. So it's just movies like that, they just, you know, they just stay on forever. Yep. Because people want to reach back and go, yeah, this is great. This was a great time.
I'm thinking about spoiling Stranger Things 2.
Why did you do that?
But it's like, you know, at the same time, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, there's a disclaimer here for those that haven't watched season two. You know, for Stranger Things 2, you know, or Stranger Things. And if you haven't watched it, you know, you probably shouldn't listen from now on.
Can I have a disclaimer?
Go ahead.
What the hell's taking you people so long? Do you realize it's January, for God's sake? Get on it. The shit came out in October. Come on, people. Your lives aren't that busy. Get on it. I'm tired of putting disclaimers on stuff. All right, good.
I can kind of relate to that because, you know, it's one of those things where once I started watching it and loving the season, I didn't want to rush my way through it.
Yes.
But I absolutely loved it. And then once I got hooked, of course, I wanted to binge it. However, Sean Astin.
Are we gonna talk about this about Scott? Is he gonna be okay with that?
All I'm doing is bringing up Sean Astin's character.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not gonna go further than that.
I love Bob. Bob is awesome.
Yeah, and that's my point. You know, loved the little throwout that they did in that episode, where they use him to figure out the map, you know, of all the crayon drawings that are all over the house, and where he goes, well, what's at the X? Is that a pirate treasure? Ha 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 ha. And you knew that was a Goonies, throw out. But that was the only one they put in there. And I loved that. I just absolutely loved that it was Sean Astin in that character, and he did it so well. And then for them to give that little kind of throw out, you know, to Goonies, and so much about Stranger Things is reminiscent of Goonies. So it was like tying everything with a big red bow and saying, here you go, 80s fans, this is for you. Loved yeah. it. Loved it.
Yeah. Did you see, and now see, I don't remember this, or if I do, it's been, like I said, it's been a while, but as we're watching Goonies, as I was watching today, and Chunk was on the phone talking to the sheriff, and he's telling him all these things that are going on. He's like, oh, really? Or is it like that time? And he starts running off all this stuff that he supposedly told him that wasn't true. You know, and he says, oh, and like the time when, you know, there's these little creatures and you pour water on them and they multiplied. And I'm like, what? Gremlin shout out. That was awesome. And of course, we all know that, you know, Corey Feldman was in Gremlin. Spoiler alert. Anyway, but you never know who hasn't seen anything. I hate to say that. You know, there's people out there that I'm just like, yeah, here's a Netflix. Just, it's on me. Just sit there and watch it for a few days and catch up with everybody else. But yeah, so I thought that, and they did another one too, and I can't remember, don't recall it, but when they did it, it was later on in the film, and I was like, oh, that's two that they did. But yeah, so that is actually something I wasn't aware of. See, so it had been that long since I'd seen Goonies that it didn't bring that back to me.
Oh, okay.
So, thank you. That was pretty cool. No, yeah. And I mean it sincerely. I honestly didn't even catch that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, they, I thought that was, just a wonderful shout out. And here's the part that I'm going to spoil.
Okay.
So, if you haven't watched season 2 Stranger Things, stop now. Okay. Yeah. Why'd they have to kill off Bob?
Because,
like, come on, guys. Bob was awesome.
Bob was awesome. Bob was just a little too awesome.
Well, too awesome. Come on.
Yeah. No, he was.
That's your analysis? That's what you're giving me? He was too awesome?
You're not letting me explain.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll interrupt you again.
Thanks. When we meet Bob at the beginning, I don't know about you, but he seemed just a little too friendly to me. A little too knowledgeable and just a little too accepting. So my son and I are watching these episodes and I'm like, dude, I think he's behind something. He knows something. And he's like, yeah, I think so too. I think he's part of this. You know, so we had all these conspiracy theories about Bob. And I think we were supposed to. Because no one in their right mind would be that loving and caring and accepting and, you know, would just go along with anything that this woman said without questioning it. And it was towards the end when he started to question. It was just kind of like, you know, up until this point, I was really just kind of hoping that all this stuff was just, you know, kids play. But no, I'm saying that you're serious now. It's kind of discerning. But it's just, it wouldn't have worked further on. It really wouldn't. And then I know that people wanted, well, he could have been this, and he could have been their insider, and he could have been, you know, a stronger force in the whole thing, and him and the mom could have got married. It's like, no, she's not supposed to be married. She can't get him. Winona Ryder's not supposed to be married. But
she's probably supposed to end up with Hopper, I think.
I don't know. Those two are like poison when they get together. But yeah, I think Sean Astin had an amazing time filming that. He had an amazing time being a part of that. That's so huge that it spans, you know, generations and cultures and age gaps and all kinds of things. And I think he just wanted it to be, yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, because I played a big part for a short amount of time, and I'm good. And it hurt, because you wanted him to make it, and he didn't, you know?
Yeah, I didn't want that character to be gone. I wanted that character to be...
I could think of a lot of other ones that could... Hair man, Del, please take this jerk out. And him. I don't even know why he's in this movie or show or whatever.
I think Easy Peasy is going to become a big thing.
Do you think Easy Peasy?
Easy Peasy. Bob's catchphrase, Easy Peasy. I think that is going to become a big thing.
I hope so. And if not, we'll make it one.
Easy Peasy. Easy Peasy. Love that. Just love it.
Yeah. And you know, it's just, there are people out there like Bob. There's Bobs out there everywhere. And we unfortunately take them for granted because we think that they're secret agents. Because we can't believe that they're actually that nice.
Yeah, those of us that are secret agents, we're surprised that you think that way.
So. Aww. It's you trying to relate. But it's okay.
No, I'm not a nice guy like Bob. So
I know you. We don't call you the overlord for nothing. So nice job.
All right, so is there any other points of the movie that you want to bring up?
Let me ponder that for a second. Not really, but the special effects in it were pretty corny, although believable at some points. But the one thing that I thought was kind of, oh really, was when he's tearing up the deed, you know, to release his property, and he tears it in like three pieces as it's, you know, there's like multiple copies behind it. You know, the form.
Yeah.
I feel like six pages to it. He tears it in like three or four pieces and throws it up in the air. And then all of this paper just magically appears and comes down. I'm like, what? Get out of here. But, you know, honestly, if it wouldn't have worked that way, it would have not had the same feel to it. So it's like, yeah, let's add a bit more paper. Let's overdub the paper so it makes it look like there's a lot coming out of the sky.
Just had to overdo it a bit.
That's truly my only beef.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even check that at the door. I took it for the happy moment that it was and just left it alone. But you make a great point. I guess I didn't even think about it.
I don't know. I guess if I had to find something wrong with it, that would have been it. Which obviously means I found nothing wrong with it other than the fact that, you know, 20 years after the last time I saw it, I'm going, wow. That's pretty much what I...
Yeah, I think it's great the moment that you kind of picked as your favorite. You know, the moment with the wishes and, you know, it sounded like you really got into that moment. And, you know, there's like so much of this whole movie that kind of does it for 80s kids, you know, because you have the camaraderie of your friends that you would spend time with after school and, you know, the adventures, you know, that you would go on. And it's so different than what you have nowadays because, like, nowadays we know where our kids are all the time because they've got their cell phones with them and, you know, you have that immediate contact. But back in the 80s, it was that era of, you know, you were free after school between... Trust. Yeah, between, you know, the moment you got home to, whoever, you know, whatever your curfew was, you know, if it was like when the lights go out and the street lights come on, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, between that time period, anything could have happened, you know, and you wanted something like the Goonie adventure to happen, but of course it never did.
Yeah.
But that's what you secretly hoped for. And so, to me, that's what this movie kind of symbolizes.
Yes. It's like at the beginning with all the police cars and the, you know, the police car chases and everything. And Mikey's looking out the window. He's like, what's the point? Nothing exciting ever happens in this little dumb old town. You know, it's just like, really? Where were you looking? Because like 5 minutes ago, like a high speed car chase. But having said that, you know, it's just, you know, they all needed something to get them out of the rut. they were in, and to lift their spirits, and give them hope, because they were losing their home. You know, it's just like he said, you know, tomorrow, you know, we're going to be in different schools, and we're going to live in different towns, and poor Data's going to have to move to Detroit, Lord bless him. But, you know, it's just, it's like, yeah, this is why we've got to hold on to this moment, because, you know, life's going to change drastically for everybody, you know.
I think that's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
That was kind of our wrap-up thoughts all in one fell swoop. So, at the end of these things, we like to remind people how to get a hold of us. And we've been directing you to go to our website, which is Banzai, B-A-N-Z-A-I, RetroClub.com. And we have links to everything that you're going to be able to get a hold of us. You know, all of our Facebook, our Twitter, our Tumblr. So that's really your gateway into joining our club. And we'd really like you to be able to go to that website and, you know, check out all those different, you know, avenues of social media that we're engaged in. Because they're for you as much as they are for us. That's why we do this thing. So please go out there and check it out. And, you know, even drop an email. You know, we have a link in there that you can actually do the – I know that's a little bit of an ancient technology. But, you know, you can click that link and send an email, send a note. Let us know what you liked about the Goonies, what you didn't like. Maybe, you know, check out some of our other episodes and let us know if we got some fact figures wrong. We'd love to hear that feedback. The other thing that we have out there is, we'd like people that have those, fancy iPhone gadgets to write us, you know, reviews. But Rose tells us about that.
Yeah, you know, I just recently got a new phone, and, I'm not an iPhone person. I'm an Android girl. Only because I guess I just like making life harder for myself. But, all the people that have the iPhones and the iPads and whatever it is, there's like a watch now that talks to you. I don't know. Anyway, go to iTunes store and check out our podcast and leave us a review, because frankly, you know, we're not going to be here forever. And the longer we wait for you all to make or, you know, make a review or give us however many stars is the star system. I can't remember. We just may start an adventure of our own and go find pirate treasure someplace in Cary, Illinois. I don't know. But anyway, I'm making stuff up. Of course we're going to be here, damn it, because we're here for you. And because we're here for you, we want you to kind of reciprocate. So get on those iPhones, try not to drop them. I know they're made of glass now. And I know I'm going to say that in every episode. But, see, they're coming to get you. It's the review place.
I hear them.
You're being arrested for not giving us any reviews. So, but we would appreciate it. And, that makes us more visible, our podcast more visible. So if people are searching for, like, oh, who's ever done a review of the Goonies? Oh, hey, this podcast is like a whole episode for the, I want to watch that, or I want to listen to that, because you can't watch podcasts. But, yeah, so let's just, let's do that and tell us what you think and correct my errors. Cause I'm just wanting people to do that. Just say, Rose, no, it wasn't that person. It was Jodie Foster. You know, you gotta stop thinking with your brain and use, you know, IMDb or Google every once in a while. And I'm like, no, don't have to do that, cause my brain is in perfect condition. It's hardly ever used and it's pristine.
And we're asking to be corrected, because we're not like so stuck on ourselves to say we're going to be relying so much on fact and figures as we do this, because we're, you know, it's too much work for us.
It is.
We just want to go out and enjoy the movie and all that stuff. And, you know, if we're going to get, you know, the facts and figures wrong, we're just going to kind of roll them out and hope that they fly. But we'd love for people to go, nah, you guys are way off base on that.
Yeah.
We'd love to get that feedback. Yeah.
Yes. That challenge.
And, you know,
all good points with the rating reviews on iTunes. So yeah, just please go out there and do that and subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I subscribed to my podcast and I couldn't even use my iPad because I had 248 episodes of podcasts that I hadn't listened to. Shit. I think I need to delete some of these. But yeah, but we don't advocate that you guys do that. So we want you to listen to every single one.
Yep, everyone. Go back. Go back to the whole archive of Bonsai Retro Club and listen.
Really?
And then the last thing we have is our Patreon. So we on our website that I already told you about, BonsaiRetroClub.com, there's a Patreon page. So if you're so inclined and you've got a little bit of extra, you know, money that you're looking to do something with, go out there and, you know, give us some support, you know, let us, you know, add a little bit of, I guess your influence into, you know, making it a little easier for us to keep the website running and mm-hmm. The podcast hosting. Cause, yeah, this isn't free. I'd love it all to be free, but it's not. And you know, your support makes things run easier. I mean, we're not, you know, going to stop doing things by any means, but you know, it just makes it just a tad bit easier. And you know, wouldn't you like to just make life a little tad easier for something you'd enjoy?
That'd be nice.
Yeah. The last thing I usually like to tell everybody, or like to remind everybody, is just be excellent to each other. You know, a lot of wacky stuff going on in this world, and people that aren't being nice and being jerks and assholes. I want you to be excellent. I want you to be nice to each other and treat each other like you want to be treated. I mean, it's that simple. So my advice is just be that. You know, be that way towards each other. You know, let's be the great global community that we can be.
Yes. Be a Goonie, not a Fratelli.
Goonies never die.
They never say die.
Never say die.
And they don't
Thank
pick
you.
On other people either.
They
That's
don't.
A Fratelli. So we don't need no Fratellis.
Yeah, we don't need to be a Fratelli.
Unless it's an ice cream store in Philadelphia, then we might need them.
Is that an actual ice cream store?
I think so. I don't know. I'm in Philadelphia. It might be in I may be thinking of something else. That's okay. That's just my brain working again, people. Don't pay me no mind. People are getting on Google going, Fratellis.
Fratellis ice cream. It sounds like it could be a thing.
Yeah, no. I'm terrible. Anyway, just ignore what I say.
Nothing to see here, people. Move on.
No, just keep moving.
But, yeah, it makes me want to go back and find Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go watch Bugsy Malone, I think. It's probably on Amazon. So will we pay $3 for that?
For Bugsy?
I think we'd pay $3
for that. Yeah, I would.
Unless it's for free on YouTube.
Thank you. We can't end this without doing our rating. Goonies. Huh? How much would you pay to watch it? If you didn't own it on VHS.
$2.
$2.
Yes.
I'm probably in three. I'm probably in the $3 area.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and we already discussed why there would be that variance between us.
Yes.
Yeah. So now the other rating that we started recently adopting, crunchy or creamy? Is this a crunchy movie or is this a creamy movie?
Oh, this is definitely a crunchy movie.
This is a crunchy movie for you.
Oh, yeah. Just a lot going on, a lot of movement, a lot of Keystone Cop antics. Oh, this is crunchy beyond belief.
Lot of danger and adventure. I'm going crunchy.
Yeah. There we go. Crunchy's up.
we gotta do that on like every episode now. Every episode. Just give it a crunchy or creamy.
Great. Yep. There we go.
Shout out Team Hot Stuff.
Team Hot Stuff. Hope you get better, Kristen. Kristen's fighting a cold. I hope she feels better.
Yeah. It, when this thing posts, it's going to be about 2 weeks from when we recorded this.
Mm-hmm.
If she's still got a cold, then I mean, I'm just going to have to fly out and take care of her.
You know, I'm going to let you do that because, yeah, she'd probably appreciate that.
It's just way too long to be sick. But yeah. If you've got like flu or pneumonia or something, it'll hang on like that.
Hopefully. Well, hopefully, you know, she doesn't have anything like that. Although bronchitis is kind of raising its ugly head recently.
Yeah. I had pneumonia last year and it was a good 3-4 weeks before that cleared up. I hated it.
Yeah. It'll kick your ass in a heartbeat. You hear that, people? Go to your doctor.
Take care of yourself.
Treat it. Yes, please. Thank you.
All right, so this is the time when we say have a good whatever.
Have a good whatever. Ciao, folks.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Danielson!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 That was fun.
That was fun. It was a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. So.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, your perspective. And I didn't think that way, you know. I was like, Goonies, who could not love Goonies? And then I started looking at it through the lens of a parent of that time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and so you evolved my opinion of your perspective of it. Not my perspective of it, but just how you might have looked at it. And I think that's great. That's why I love doing this with you.
Thank
you. Because it gives me a different lens to look at things. And even Scott, you know, just has a different lens of how his view of the 70s, 80s, and 90s were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he's got a lot of class about him. He's had, you know, a lot of adventure, so moving all over the place. And you have, too. Just, you know, Scott seems that his life had a bit of panache to it.
Panache.
You know. Whatever. Panache, panache.
Well, yeah, it's tomato, classy, tomato. Dude. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's like each of us has our own very unique view and opinion of things. And it would have been interesting to get his take on Goonies.
Yeah,
but even the messages I had going back and forth with him, it seemed like it wasn't something that he was that uber excited about. So it would have been interesting to get his perspective of that.
Yeah, maybe we can, next time we do the, you know, whatever we're going to do, we can just run that about 15-minute take on that.
Well, he went on to say that it was like one of those things where he saw bits and pieces of it throughout the years, but he doesn't know if he's seen the whole thing end to end. So I'd be very interested to find out why.
Yeah. And see, that's, like I said, that's the bizarreness, that, you know, we would have to find out why, like you said, and what the hell.
But then the same arguments be made for major movies that I haven't seen. You know, he's bringing up the thing. John Carpenter is a thing. Still haven't seen it.
Wow.
And it's like the, you know, that moment. And it's not like I'm actively avoiding it, but it's just one of those things that it, you know, I wasn't into horror movies back then, and I just haven't made time for it.
Being a horror movie.
What was that?
I hardly consider the thing a horror movie.
Oh, well, I mean, but, yeah, I mean, that just wasn't my, that wasn't my jam, that's all. And so, you know, it's not like I'm, you know, I plan to watch it. I want to watch it, you know, sometime soon. You know, and I'm thinking maybe it'd be a good visit when we get closer to Halloween.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and talk about my first viewing of it from a 2017 perspective. So it's in my thought process, but you know, it's like, you know, all the other activities going on in my life, you know, it doesn't happen. And it's not like I have to do it. I'd like to, but I don't have to. And the same thing with Goonies for him.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get it.
Okay. That's cool. Anyway, I need to go eat dinner.
You should go eat dinner.
I made it early. All I have to do is serve it. Made pork stew.
Pork stew, yum.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's got to smell good, too.
It does. And I had it in a crock pot like all day long.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be over shortly.
Okay, sounds great. Anywho, you take care.
All right, talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.